We'll get started. Dr. Jim, can you handle the Jim and Jim? Can you handle the Jim and Paul show until he just walked through the door? So you're all set. Anytime that you guys are ready to go, we are ready to listen.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll be presenting a summary of the assessment and data updates of the 13 New England groundfish stocks through 2010. And Paul Rego and I are giving this presentation together. And I'm more involved with the process of coordinating and running the meeting. And Paul is more involved with the science issues. So when it comes time to fielding questions, we'll try to divide it up that way. And I understand from talking to the chairman before the meeting that he prefers that I go through the presentation, and the plan is also to have Chris LeGault present the SSC presentation and then to take questions on both of those together.
I should have stated what I would like to do is go through both the presentations, and then we will move into the groundfish report, and we're going to revisit most of the issues, and at that point in time, questions may come up, and just I would ask that you guys remain available to answer them during that part of the
So the stocks that were updated are listed here. There are 13 groundfish stocks, and there was a mutual agreement between the Science Center and the councils, and the council and the NRCC back in August to go ahead with these updates. So the center worked hard in order to provide them started their work during the fall. And I'll be describing this process, which is a little bit different than the SAUSARC process. But this slide lists the stocks that were reviewed and the previous review process, which was typically GARM 3. And they were done in 2008. The groundfish FMP has 20 stocks, so there were seven that were not reviewed during this meeting. Five, and I'd like to just account for them here. Five were reassessed after GARM 3, but before this meeting, and they're listed here: pollock, three winter flounder stocks, and Gulf of Maine cod. And then two of them are scheduled for peer review this year. So that accounts for the 20 stocks in the FMP. The process that we went through is a new process that's an integrated peer review, and it's not the SAUSARC process. And I spoke about this last year, the new process, and this was basically our first trial of using the process to update a large number of stocks all at once. And with updates, a lower level of peer review is appropriate for reviewing updates. And that's why we were able to go through as many as a dozen stocks within 1 week. The emphasis was on updating the previous assessments, and the general rule that we followed was that no changes were to be made to the underlying models. And when any changes were made, they were discussed by the group as to whether they were acceptable or not in that kind of a format. But in general, very few changes were made. So these are strict updates to the GARM 3 assessments. There's a final report on our website that's roughly 800 pages. And the report includes a description of the results, of course, but also a discussion about, for each of the stocks, assessment uncertainty, their general comments, short-term projections, and there's also a section on projection accuracy. I've looked at the terms of reference and provided here a brief list in my own words, the essence of each of the terms of reference. And these are, in fact, much shorter and more streamlined than those that are done in the SOS ARC. So in these, the assessment scientists updated all the input data. Number two, they estimated stock biomass and fishing mortality rate by year, identify uncertainties, update the values of the biological reference points to make them consistent with the work coming out on the estimates of biomass and mortality. Stock status determination was part of this meeting, short-term projections, and some discussion about new assessment approaches. Now, getting to the meeting itself, it was held in Woods Hole at the Science Center, and there's an error in this slide. The date of the meeting was February the 13th through the 17th, not March. Before this meeting, there was, as part of the process, we had to form an assessment oversight panel, which involves having SSC members meet with the assessment scientists to plan the work that will be done. And so for that meeting, there were three SSC members who met with the lead assessment scientists, and they went over each of the plans for each of the updates. And that was held in November of 2011, before the work was actually done and before the peer review. The reviewers who were at the integrated peer review are listed here, and they are SSC members from the New England Council, as well as Dr. Sandra Lowe from the Alaska Fishery Science Center, and Dr. Rago and I co-chaired the meeting. And because there were so many stocks, that's why we needed to have a large number of reviewers. In the future, with this process, it's meant to be streamlined, and if it's just one or two stocks that are being updated, it would probably be appropriate just to have a very small review panel. So now getting on to the results. This is a graph that is similar to what is in the GARM 3 report from 2008. And this shows in the white bars, well, first of all, there are different for each of the stocks, there's a different, that's interesting. For each stock, there's a set of bars. The light bars are the estimates for 2007 from GARM 3, and the 2010 values are from the most recent assessment update. And the latest data year that was used in this update is 2010, and that's why 2010 is listed in the figure. The important values that are marked with vertical lines are the overfished threshold and the biomass target. So any bars that are to the right of the biomass target are fully rebuilt, and any bars that are less than the overfished threshold are overfished. And that would be at less than 0.5 of the BMSY value. In words, this is a summary of the previous slide. So two of the stocks are newly rebuilt, the Redfish and the Southern Windowpane. Three of the 12 stocks are equal to or greater than their biomass targets. And they are Georges Bank Haddock, Redfish, and Southern Windowpane. Seven of the 12 stocks analyzed are overfished. That is, they're less than one half of the BMSY proxy. Three of the stocks are at less than 10% of their respective biomass targets, and they are halibut, ocean pout, and Georges Bank cod. And there were no changes in the overfished status between the GARM 3 and the current results. In this slide, this is simply the same slide that you saw a moment ago, but we've placed red circles around the stocks that are overfished. And this slide is a summary of the biomass information as it relates to stocks, whether or not they are overfished. And the columns here are for the previous assessment results from the GARM 3 in 2008. And then the new update results. And then the third column is indicating whether there were any status changes. And I think from this you can see that about half of the stocks are shaded in red, which means that they're overfished. The third column about status changes, two of them are newly rebuilt. But in general, there's nothing to report about status changes. So there really are not a lot of changes regarding overfished or not that based on these updates. So in terms of being overfished or not, the condition that existed during GARM 3, that's similar to the results that were found in these updates that were just concluded. And I'll get to White Hake in a moment where it's labeled not determined in that cell. Now I showed you four slides that were related to biomass. Now I'll show you four slides that are analogous but related to fishing mortality rate. So here are the results related to whether or not there's overfishing. And the vertical bar that's there in dashes is the overfishing threshold. And these are relative values relative to the FMSY proxy. So a value greater than one indicates that overfishing is occurring. So in words, here's a summary of the results from the previous slide. Of the 12 stocks analyzed, two changed their overfishing status between GARM 3 and the current results. Georges Bank Haddock went from no to yes, and Southern Windowpane went from yes to no. Overfishing is occurring in five of the 12 stocks analyzed, and three of the stocks with the highest rate of overfishing relative to their reference points are Georges Bank Cod, Gulf of Maine Haddock, and Witch Flounder. And in this slide, we placed circles around the stocks in which overfishing was found to be occurring in the updates. And in this slide, it's the same as you saw before. This one is related to overfishing. And so the stocks that were overfishing was occurring based on GARM 3 are shown in red in the column that says previous assessment. The ones that are deemed to be overfishing based on the new updates are shown in red in the column that says new update 2012. And the two stocks that had a status change are indicated in the third column where it says overfishing. So the that's a new, or one says overfishing and the other says not overfishing. And those are the two changes that occurred from GARM 3 to this new update. So in general, there are not a lot of status changes between what was found in GARM 3 and what these updates found. The results that I've been showing you, the actual numbers, are in this slide and the next slide. And I'm presenting them in case, because you probably, some of you would like to have the actual numbers. And I'm not going to discuss these tables. I'm just presenting you with the numbers in, so that you have them. And they're also in the report. So if you take all of that status information and you put it together, and you have the fishing mortality values on the y-axis relative to their reference points and the biomass values relative to their reference points on the x-axis, and then draw lines in for the 1/2 BMSY value that indicates whether stocks are overfished or not. If they're to the left of that 1/2 BMSY, then they're overfished. And if they're above the horizontal line greater than 1 on the fishing mortality rate axis, then overfishing is occurring. So the worst place to be is in that upper left box. And there are four stocks there: Georges Bank cod, Cape Cod yellowtail, witch flounder, and northern windowpane. And then there are four stocks that are in the lower right quadrant, and that's not overfishing and not overfished. And they include plaice, Georges Bank haddock, redfish, and southern windowpane. And in the lower left are halibut, pout, and wolffish. And in the upper right, that's Gulf of Maine haddock. The reference point values were updated along with getting new estimates of biomass and fishing mortality rate. And the reference points were updated because some of the information on life history had been updated in the last 3 years, and that information is useful not only in the assessment, but it also goes into calculating the fishing mortality rate for the reference point. So to make those consistent, it required updating the values of the reference points. No changes were made to the actual statistic that was being computed, or the if F40 was the proxy for overfishing, it stayed as F40. So there were no changes made to the term that was being computed, but some new updated biological information was used in estimating that value. So the FMSY proxies changed from, they went down by as much as 8% and up as much as 35%. For the BMSY proxies, there was a consistent reduction in their values from GARM 3 to the update, and the values of those changes ranged from negative 5% to negative 21%. And the MSY proxies changed in a negative way by a similar amount. And these changes are related to changes in the recruitment that is coming in recently, as well as the weights at age of the populations. The white hake, you noticed that there was a cell earlier on that just indicated that the white hake status was not determined in this assessment. And that's because only a data update is provided in the document. the landings and the survey values and so forth, but not an assessment update. And the reason is that this would have required additional analytical work beyond what would go into an update and beyond what could have been handled in this review process. At the moment, Whitehake is scheduled for to be on the SAWSARC this fall. Although I'm sure many of you are aware that with the discussion about adding Gulf of Maine cod to the agenda, there will be discussions going on about which stocks will be kept on and which ones will be added to that agenda. That'll be a topic for another day, I believe. But for the purposes of reviewing this meeting, this is the explanation for why Whitehake was not updated. The data were updated, but not the stock status part of it. Now, there were projections made along with the updates in stock status. And I want to emphasize that the catch projections that are in this update are provisional. The groundfish PDT will update the projections with improved or final estimates of catches for 2011. All the projections that are in the update report are based on the assumption that the catches in 2011 were equal to the catches in 2010. Now, an important result here, and that's in the text box on the right, the provisional projections of catches for 2012 at various fishing mortality rates, and that is like F rebuild or FMSY or 75% of FMSY, those values were often lower than the ABCs and ACLs that are currently specified in Framework 47. And this table has some of the values to demonstrate that. For instance, in the first row for Georges Bank cod, the ACL value for Framework 47 is 4,861 metric tons. But if you look to the right, you'll see that the catch that would be associated with a 75% FMSY proxy is 2,787 metric tons, so that the ACL value exceeds the estimate of what the catch would be based on that F biological reference point. And there are similar results for many of the other stocks in this table. But again, I'd like to emphasize that these projected catches, all the projections are based on the assumption that the catch in 2010 and 11 are the same. And so that's why they're provisional and these results are provisional. As in all of our assessments, there's always uncertainty, and you would have to go to each of the individual chapters on the different stocks to understand what the major sources of uncertainty were for each of the different updates. But I've listed here, this is a complete list that the peer reviewers and the assessment scientists identified as the major sources of uncertainty. And each stock update had one or more sources that are listed here. And they are changes in weights at age or other life history parameters, estimates of catch that depend on historical data or assume discard mortality rate, the recruitment time series to include in the projections, whether research surveys are representative of stock size / abundance, the conversion to the new research survey vessel, retrospective patterns in VPA model output, and finally, projections based on GARM-3 often underestimated the realized F and overestimated the realized B. And this refers to and some analyses that Tom Neese took the lead on during the meeting, and they're summarized in Appendix B of the report. So that's a kind of a, in the background, that's a source of uncertainty that applies probably to all of the projections that are in the report. And with that, that concludes our summary. Thank you.
I'm going to change the order of things just because I had a discussion with the Groundfish chair. Not the order, but I said we weren't going to take questions on this. We are going to take questions on this presentation that people have. The SSC presentation relates directly to the presentation that Tom will give on Gulf of Maine Cod, and I think we'll try and hold the questions on that one till that. So, council members, if you have a question, I saw Doug Groutton and Jim on them.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Jim, for your presentation. I'm going to direct council's attention to one species where we had a change of status of overfishing from not overfishing to now currently overfishing is occurring, and that's Gulf of Maine haddock. And as I looked through this assessment, I was quite puzzled at the recent outcome for several reasons. One, we actually have the difference between the GARM-3 fishing mortality rate in 2007 was 0.35. When you add more data, the retrospective pattern actually works in our favor because it says the fishing mortality rate was actually lower back in 2007. It's 0.23. So when we set our OFL, ABCs, and ACLs back in back based on this, we set a level that we felt would keep us from overfishing. And as a matter of fact, in 2010, which is the terminal year of this assessment, we did not exceed our ACL, even with a higher a MRFs estimate, which is probably higher than what it actually was based on the new MRIP data. So here we have a situation, an assessment, two peer-reviewed assessments. We followed the guidelines in trying to keep a lid on our catches. We succeeded in doing that, yet this assessment says that our fishing mortality rate in 2010 is more than, almost double the FMSY. So we're overfishing even though we stayed under our ACL. And this both puzzles me and troubles me because we use the best available scientific information, follow the guidelines that would keep us from overfishing, yet the assessment says that we grossly overfished this stock or had overfishing occurring at a very high level. So I'd like to ask Paul Rago how, if there's an explanation, maybe I'm missing something in this assessment that may have led to this, but to me, this is a very, very important thing because if we follow all the guidelines and suddenly we're still overfishing where we weren't overfishing before, then there's some problems with our system here. So, Paul, can you give me a rationale behind this, why this occurred?
So, thank you, Doug. That's an excellent question. I wish I had an excellent answer for it. There are a number of issues that I think come into play. One is that the resource pretty much peaked about 2003 as a result of the 98 and the late 1990s year classes. As predicted in the GARM and also verified in this, the resource has been dropping since that time period. And in fact, the resource is with just below the confidence intervals predicted at GARM 3 in terms of its rate of decline, but it is lower than that. So it dropped faster than we expected in terms of the resource. Now, the difference in terms of what we said was in 2000 and in the biomass in 2007 from what we said in 2008 versus what we said as a result of this update, you're correct that there is a higher biomass back then in 2007 than we said in 2008. Sorry for the little bit of confusion and the time shift issue there. There is a retrospective pattern. However, it is, as you noted, it goes in the other direction. Typically, the retrospective pattern is one of overestimating stock size in the contemporary setting. In this case, the retrospective pattern is one of underestimating stock size. However, it is a moderate retrospective pattern. It doesn't sort of exceed the threshold that we have typically applied in terms of characterizing the significance, that is, a post hoc, after the fact adjustment of stock size to account for the retrospective pattern. And then the other thing is that I think as a general process here, the BMSY estimate for Gulf of Maine cod, as Gulf of Maine haddock as well as Georgia's Bank haddock, are both down on the order of about 20%, and this is just in a 3-year period. So our estimates of stock productivity are considerably lower. As Jim noted, that pattern it persists across all of them, most of the stocks for which we have the H-based assessments, and they are on the order of 12% of decline overall in terms of the BMSY. So the productivity of the system, as measured by the single stock assessments, are indicating that the overall system productivity is declining. I think in terms of trying to ferret out the details of the differences, it would probably be better to have a written response to the council on that topic, and I will provide that as a basis. But I did want to give you a little bit of context in terms of a rapidly declining resource as in response to the low recruitment that's occurred since the late 1990s, and then also a moderate retrospective pattern in the other direction that may be accounting for it. And but again, to emphasize, as you did, that the management procedures and the fishery, the industry, followed the guidelines, the previously specified information. So thanks.
So just a follow-up, if you are going to provide a written response to the council, then I would hope that there'd also be some kind of suggested remedy for us trying to stay within our allowable catch so that this doesn't happen. We had a resource that was not overfished, overfishing wasn't occurring, and clearly we followed the guidance of our SSC, which was partially based on this assessment and the projections that were provided by the PDT, and we've stayed within that. And so somehow to have it just go completely the opposite way and be so severely overfishing occurring at such a high level, you know, almost double the reference point, how are we going to address this from as a manager standpoint in the future with other stocks?
Jim Auburn.
I guess first I'd like to ask a question of Jim. I'm confused. On page 7, of your presentation at the top, it says Georges Bank haddock went from overfishing to overfishing. And then down below it on the same page, it says Georges Bank haddock is not being overfished. Is that a misprint, or am I misreading it?
Print. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's Gulf of Maine haddock. Yeah.
I just want to make sure that didn't get out in the press.
Yeah, no.
Tom Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Slide 13. Slide 13, I think, is the one you're referring to. Yeah, where it says... Oh, wait, no, the next, overfishing, the one that says, yeah, there we go, I'm sorry. That's it. It says Georges Bank haddock went from no to yes. We didn't catch that. It's Gulf of Maine haddock. Yeah, it's incorrect in the figure, but it's incorrect in that statement.
Thanks. I'm concerned, in following up with... Doug Grout's points, I worry that we're getting a little too specific on this dock. When I attended the SSC meeting, Tom Neese made that presentation. It was a whole range of groundfish docks. So I'm concerned that there's something just systemically wrong with the tools and process by which we're setting catch advice for a range of these docks. It seemed to me from the audience that that was a pretty sweeping indictment of our process, and I think Gulf of Maine haddock is a great example of that, but there are others. I know the SSC had a short conversation about, in my view, a short conversation about what we'd possibly do to fix that, but some of the solutions were, in my mind, addressing the symptom as opposed to the underlying condition, which is we do have these discrepancies in our estimates of biomass, and looking back, we seem to not be performing anywhere near as well as we need to under an ACL management framework. So I think we need to, if we're talking about a correspondence with the SSC and directing or working with the center to identify these things, it can't be specific to Gulf of Maine haddock alone. It's because the problem, I don't think, is specific to Gulf of Maine haddock alone, and it's a real big problem. I don't know. I certainly don't have the expertise to tackle it, but we have to change something, and it can't start with immediately getting into a specific assessment or the assumptions made therein or, you know, decisions along that way. It's something that is, I think, and I fear, bigger than that. I think my other concern is that we continue to have scientific and management cycles that are out of sync. I mean, if this Georges Bank cod number is right, the provisional projections, and I understand they are provisional, we have the ACL that would come out of the F rebuild is actually 30%, or about 30% of what we're about to set the ACL for 2012. I worry that we're setting ourselves up for a real big problem with this stock, and we have no tool to incorporate that information. I don't know what to do about that either, but that's not the position I'd like to find ourselves in. If that is a valid number and that's what we're going to have to hold ourselves to, I think we're going to be taking far too much out in 2012. And I don't know how or even if we can address that.
Jim.
Yeah, first I could respond to the issue about the retrospective pattern and how that feeds into the projections that you noted seem to be overly optimistic. And a number of these assessments, the analytical ones with VPAs, do come with retrospective patterns. And then when we have done the update using additional information, we see that the updates, in fact, tell us that from GARM 3, those final estimates were overly optimistic. And the new view is that biomass was, in fact, lower than we thought it was. So the projections that were based on the GARM 3 results from 2008, the starting points for those projections were too high for biomass, and in fact now we know that a lower estimate would have been more accurate. But the retrospective pattern then continued in the updates which were just done in 2012. Those VPA models also have, many of them have a similar retrospective pattern, which is consistent with the kind of pattern that we saw in 2008. So although a lot of work has been done to try to identify the cause of it and to try to make it go away by including more information or improving the models, in many cases that hasn't been possible. But I think a lesson that could be learned is that this pattern exists if one is to use projections based on those models that have those properties, then there's a pretty good indication that they're going to be overly optimistic. And that would be the lesson learned from this. In terms of the timing issue, the work on this actually started not back last August, but a year ago, probably last April or May, the Council and the Science Center were talking about doing these updates so that the information would have actually been provided to the Council in sync with their development of the framework and what was called for in Amendment 16. But if you recall, a lot of work was done. There was an expanded PDT which was formed last spring and worked through the summer trying to find, identify survey indices or other sorts of metrics that could be used in lieu of doing full updates. And the idea was to use those signals to guide the Council in terms of setting, making catch limits for the coming year. But what the SSC and others found was that they weren't working out very well. And eventually, by August, it became clear that it would have been preferable to just go ahead and have the Science Center do the full updates. And that was when your chairman contacted the Science Center, and an agreement was reached that the Science Center would do full updates on all 12 stocks. And that's when the process kicked in, and it was decided that these would be delivered, that the review would be done in February and delivered to you shortly thereafter. So that's the history of the timing. Initially, it was going to be on time, but a lot of people tried to work, and analytically, it wasn't working out, and this was like a plan B that developed in order to get you the information, and everyone decided that was the best that could be done at that time. A lot of the information isn't good. If there were lots of fish and nothing, and there was no overfishing going on, it wouldn't be a big problem. But that's not the case.
I have Dave Pierce. Oh, did you want to make a comment to that? Okay.
Yeah, Jim or Paul, I've got a question about Gulf of Maine haddock. I focus on Gulf of Maine haddock more so than on many other stocks because of state's waters fisheries and the desire by fishermen to non-federal permanent holders to have access to Gulf of Maine haddock inside state waters. So we're always debating how much access to allow. So obviously this turn of events for Gulf of Maine haddock is of importance to us. So I need to know whether the 2012 update for Gulf of Maine haddock is consistent with what was done through GARM 3 regarding how spring and fall survey data were treated. I understand that this go-around and this update, the data were converted to so-called swept area estimates before the data were put into the model. So was that also done through GARM 3 using swept area? It was.
Yes.
Okay. And also in this update, there is an assumption of 100% trawl efficiency. relative to the catching of Gulf of Maine haddock that would be on the within a tow area. Is that also the same trawl efficiency that was assumed in the GARM?
Point of clarification, when the indices are used, we use a swept area estimate that assumes 100% efficiency. The model corrects that and adjusts and estimates a direct estimate of efficiency, which is lower than that. And I'm just looking up the estimates
okay.
that were realized in the
well, that's
model.
Okay. That's okay, yeah. Paul. You were consistent. GARM 3 and then this update, there were no changes. So that the answer to that question. In trying to think this through regarding what's going on with Gulf of Maine haddock, I took a look at the document, the assessment, to get a feel for strengths of the year classes out there and what we expect in the near future. And I was reminded, looking at the document, that we've only had one strong year class over the last 10 years or so, and that was 2003, I think. So go figure. I mean, it's one strong year class over the last 10 years, and all of those other year classes were judged to be poor. That's my recollection. So if we had over 10 years poor year classes, with that 2003 being strong, and now I think the 2010 year class, maybe the hope for the future is considered to be moderate or so, I'm not surprised with the update findings that now we're looking at a different situation from what we thought we had. That's why it's always important to focus on incoming year classes, and I also share Tom's views that with Georgia's bank card, since there has been hardly any recruitment over the last 10 years or so, and there's nothing on the horizon, it all seems to be poor, regardless of the cause. Come 2013, that along with Gulf of Maine cod, if nothing changes with Gulf of Maine cod, suggests that we're going to have a bycatch fishery for codfish, regardless of where fishermen fish. It doesn't look good, so... Anyways, you've answered my questions, and I don't like it, but I guess I'm comfortable with what has come out of the Gulf of Maine haddock update in terms of where we are. Seems believable.
George Darcy.
I just wanted to tell the council that we are preparing a letter that will inform you formally and officially of these changes to stock status. We'd hope to have it for this meeting, but it's still going through review. But shortly, you will receive that, and it will also encourage you to take the appropriate action as soon as possible to address the changed stock conditions, which would presumably be for the 2013 fishing year.
Dave Gazel.
Reading the terms of reference, and I don't know who this question for, either Paul or Jim, but as I understand it, you only use the existing model, whether it was VPA or index, so there was no comparison to anything. I mean, did anybody run an index, a three-year running average alongside the VPA to see if it came out similar or anything?
No.
Okay. Well... let's see here. The second question I had is, and I'm probably working off a little bit, I'm working off document number 6 in our groundfish packet. Table 2 has a list of recruitment in the far right, page 7. Could you go over that just a little bit? It says, you know, I assume this refers to what recruitment was assumed during this period?
That's correct. Now, the far right column there is labeled recruitment time series used for biomass reference point estimation. That will define two aspects of the biomass reference point. One is in instances where there is a two-stage recruitment model, that is, we assume that there's a lower recruitment associated with low stock sizes and a higher average recruitment associated with larger stock sizes. Oftentimes there's a break point that is relevant in terms of saying, okay, it's low below this level and higher above this cut point on to the right. That value, that actual parameter, was not updated at the stock assessment process this time. There's also a choice that's made in terms of defining what set of historical recruitment series enter into the analysis for projections. In many instances, that it refers to the entire time series of information. In other cases, and as they're noted here, there's a slightly reduced subset of the data that was used for that process. Now, in some cases, that can result in higher than average recruitment than we've seen in recent years, and that can be a problem or a source of uncertainty in terms of overestimating the projection of the resource. Typically, decisions of that type are very lengthy and require what would typically be part of a benchmark assessment. So, we did not sort of tamper with, so to speak, that aspect of the stock assessment at this update for these updates. So each of those kind of describes where the recruitment came from and the number of years that were incorporated. In instances where there was a breakpoint, that is also identified. So that's for Georges Bank Cod, Georges Bank Haddock, Gulf of Maine Haddock, and I think that's it for the two-stage ones.
That clears that up. That helps me some in trying to digest these numbers. Like a number of speakers, I'm concerned with two things. One is the fact that I think we've gone more and more to more complex models because they generally give predictive capabilities, and yet the predictions are not panning out at all, so I'm not sure that is even the right way to go. And I'm looking for a simpler way forward, given that we seem to have to do this every year now, which I also don't really agree with. But so I just offer up an idea, and that is a three-year running index assuming average recruitment, and using that as some kind of tuning index to see if we could get better predictive capabilities, something simpler that wouldn't require so much work on your part and might not require the use of the really complicated models. The second point I had is I wondered if the assembled body had any discussion about the general low productivity of all the groundfish stocks here, now going on for the better part of 10 years. With a couple of exceptions, productivity has been extraordinarily poor and continues to appear to be extraordinarily poor. So despite the lowest fishing effort ever, the least number of boats, the most restrictive regulations, having stayed within limits and everything else, we're getting nothing, essentially. No bang for our buck whatsoever. And so I was wondering at this point if people have started to have some discussion about how to deal with what appears to be a decade or perhaps multi-decade period of low productivity.
On the issue of lower productivity, there was some discussion, but not in sort of corporate terms. That is the entire suite of resources. The fact that the overall estimates of BMSY are down about 12% for these age-based stocks is, in the three-year period, I think is important. Similarly, the estimates of MSY on average are down about 10%. There have been, with a few notable exceptions, certainly the 2003 year class of Haddock has been important. The indications are that the 2010 estimate of Haddock year class is also strong. We have seen other instances where strong year classes have not panned out. So, but I guess, I did want to come back, if I may, just to your question on the simpler models. The genesis of this update process began with an attempt to try some of the simpler approaches and see whether or not, as Jim said, whether we can devise or identify metrics that would be sufficient to characterize resource status. That process did not work, and in fact, you know, we did this in response to that need to say, okay, these projections are not working. And I think that was the message that we was not fully appreciated at the time, that when it was identified that the projections were not working, they were working in a certain way. That is, they were overestimating stock size, and so all the indicators from that analysis were suggesting that we had overestimated the catches that were allowable as well as the projections of stock size. So there were this was a response to that, to try to nail it, to make sure that that, you know, what we were trying to do in terms of the simpler approaches was in fact could be confirmed by updating the models. So
I'm going to go to the audience. Are there any questions? Vito?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vito Calamo for U.S. Senator Scott Brown. My question is for Paul Regal. Paul, is there a possibility the changing of fishermen's habits and the way they fish could contribute largely to this stock reduction that we all of a sudden are surprised to see?
The retrospective patterns that we observe appear to be due to, in general, to missing fish. That is, we're not seeing them in terms of either discarding, there may be missing landings, or there may be missing fish due to natural mortality. So we have not been able to identify a probable cause of that component there. So among that set, natural mortality is potentially large. Behavior of fishermen is a possibility, but I don't think in general we have the information to distinguish among those alternatives. Maybe I may be answering a different question.
No, I think you're answering my question. Okay. I think, well, in one respect, it's music to my ears because finally said somebody that the fishermen didn't create this monster. But I think I was going down the road, and maybe you can answer this, but let me put it to the public and on the table. And we went from days at sea to trip limits to almost an open range fishery going to shears that I don't quite see, but all of a sudden there was vessels that changed their ways of fishing, vessels that would normally fish offshore because the price of fuel went from $2 to $4 a gallon. We're fishing close to the land, where during the days of the triplet they could fish offshore, and now they were trying to catch the fish to a close inshore to a stock that we had thought we rebuilt. The Gulf of Maine cod looked robust around the Gulf of Maine. It looked robust from a point of view of Massachusetts, and they were seeing fish in New Jersey that they hadn't seen. There was reports in fisheries news of sports people catching abundance of cod, and all of a sudden, because of this new way of sectors, it seemed like all of a sudden it just collapsed within a year. Georges Bank, no, excuse me, cod from the Georges Bank area has been in trouble for years and years, and no one's really picked it out. Way back when they allowed 50,000 pounds, it was still in trouble for years. But Gulf of Maine cod looked real good from all indications. Working with our state fisheries, there was an abundance of large whale cod in spawning condition that we closed an area that was the size of this table to the size of the room, in retrospect, looking back at things, to spawning, trying to save that large, well, it's a small body, but it was a good spawning biomass. That has disappeared. I'm never one to really point at fishermen and say, well, this is done, but because of your reports saying that we were almost rebuilt and everything was rosy, but it looks like something's radically wrong. Are you aware that there is an abundance of 4-inch haddock on Georges Bank at this time?
Yes, that's what the assessment is suggesting. Thank you.
Well, then the fishermen are saying the same thing. They've never seen this small. We usually talk about scrod being, 8, 10-inch fish. This 4-inch fish that I don't remember ever seeing 4-inch fish in Georges Banks, but it's been a long time since I've been to Georges Banks. It's just, we're really caught up in this. Everybody's by surprise, and people made big plans because everything was looking rosy, and I think we all need to work together to resolve some kind of a plan. And when people say, "Well, we got to take," I listen to George over there saying, "Well, we're going to send you a letter to tell you what's happening." And, well, I wish somebody would send a letter to Congress other than my boss saying that the fishermen up and down the coast are going to need some financial help because of some management decisions that weren't there to begin with. So I'm kind of rambling on here because, again, I have that pain in my stomach like I had before when certain people were talking, and it's really driving me cuckoo. I'm not in favor of some of the ways we fish today. I've been on record from day one. In fact, Paul Howard had given me an invitation to go over see this new shears basis up there in Maine. I almost got lost in the mountains because there was no water there. So, I wasn't in favor from day one. After listening to it more, I was not in favor. I'm still not in favor of it. People can say, well, what do? Go back to days at sea? Go back? Well, maybe it's some combination of, I'm not saying to throw out the baby with the bathwater, but hold on to the baby and throw out the bathwater and change the water somewhat. That's what we need to do. That's a layman's way of saying it. We appreciate all the work you do. We know you got a hard task before you, and so do the fishermen. This has created quite a problem, especially in the New England area. I thank you. That's all I can say at this time. I'm a little besides myself, Mr. Chairman. I'm really very irritated what's going on, and I don't know what to do. I don't have any outs for the fishing industry. Usually I have some ideas. I don't have any. And I'm listening to people from the industry who some of them are very concerned and some of them are thinking for themselves. And right now we need to all join hands together and try to resolve the issue. So we'll be around for next year. Thank you.
Tina.
Just wanted to thank Vito for his comments, but also just it's appropriate to acknowledge my colleagues, many of whom aren't here today, that did go to the enormous amount of work to prepare these summaries, and we all share the same concerns, and if we could fix it, we certainly would do so. Thanks.
Tina Jackson, American Alliance of Fishermen. You know, Vito has a really good point. Why, after 3 years of the Catch Share program, that these stocks, they're supposed to have increased, and you know, what we're seeing is obviously quite the opposite, especially when it comes to cod and yellowtail and some of the other issues that I can foresee coming down the line. And I've stated this prior meetings about lower productivity. Why is it that overpopulation of the species are not being looked at due to low productivity? I mean, nature is nature. Stocks that are overpopulated have already been proven not to reproduce properly. I mean, this is something that the council and the SSE should seriously take into consideration and look at the opposite end of the line here. We should be seeing a record rebound of stocks under the Catch Share program, and that's not what we're seeing. That's a clear indication that Catch Shares are a failure. When, oh when, is this council going to wake up and smell the coffee and do what is necessary to basically stop destroying the environment? You're basically ruining the ecological system of the ocean by allowing this to continue. You know, every Catch Share program in the country has never had an increase in allocation. Not one. Out of the Pacific Northwest, in Alaska, every single Catch Share program has had massive reductions. What does that tell you? Catch Shares do not increase the population of stocks. They do not rebuild stocks. They do nothing of the sort. Catch Shares was strictly an economic tool. We all know that. It was promoted as a conservation measure. It has nothing to do with conservation. And you're putting people out of work. Now, I hear that there's probably going to be a problem with single permit holders for Georgia's Bank, possibly, on the yellowtail issue. I mean, this just gives the people who have been buying up and buying up opportunity to put more people out of work and buy up more. I mean, basically, four people own over 50% of the groundfish resource within 2 years' time. How many more people is this council going to hurt? Come on now. I don't know what to say other than the proof is in the pudding. We don't have an increase in stocks. It's just not there. We're obviously having more problems now, 3 years later, under the Catch Share program than we were prior. In fact, every stock prior to that looked very healthy as far as I was concerned. Not all of them. Some of them were building a little bit slower than usual. But now, I mean, this is just distressing and it's frustrating. And I don't know what else to say but to plead to you people, just as Vito said, come together. Do a combination of days at sea. Give people the opportunity to opt out and continue to work under days at sea. And not with a 2% of the allocation. I mean, come on. That's never going to happen. But give people the opportunity to do right by them and continue in their business, those of us that are left. I mean, the boat, I haven't ground fished for 2 years. And I worked on a small boat. In fact, I haven't even been out on the boat for 2 years because all we can catch is fluke now. I mean, that's what my boat is regulated to, is fluke. That's really, it's, and imagine me, one boat. Imagine everybody from Maine all the way to North Carolina that's having this issue. So I would just plead with the council to really take a very good look at what the situation is here and possibly follow what Vito is saying and start looking at alternatives to days at sea and incorporating them all together. And, now we want to push IFQs with monkfish. Let's just get over this whole Catch Share program. It doesn't work. It's failed everywhere in the world as well as in this country. And it's time that we stop putting American fishermen out of work. Thanks.
Paul, if I may, there seems to be some thought that the numbers that the data that went into this update incorporated substantial time period under catch shares under sectors. My understanding is it was only, well, it would have only been from the 1st of May to 8 months. So that in fact, that's probably not a substantial impact on what we're seeing.
Just as a point of clarification, the catch data in these assessments went through 2010, and so there were 8 months of catch share information incorporated into these assessments.
Okay. Any other comments from the public? And I'm going to have to, Patrick, you can comment. I'm going to ask people to stick to asking questions about this assessment. That's why we have the people here right at the moment to answer these questions. Patrick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Patrick Buckett, I'm a recreational fishing advocate from Massachusetts. Through the chair, Paul, is would observe in this room every time at least that there's a hot button recreational topic. My observation has been that over the last for quite some time that when it comes to at least cod and haddock, that we sort of push to the northern edge of what we're allowed to take. And I heard a question coming to the council. So am I not hearing from just a non-scientific viewpoint that we need a bigger uncertainty buffer in the numbers we're setting? Because in the room to a fisherman, I heard lots of stuff about paper haddock over the last half a dozen years. And I heard it across the board from guys all the way down the South Shore, all the way out the Cape. I heard a lot about paper haddock and nobody believing that some of these haddock numbers were true, and now it turns out that those fishermen were right, and I can't forget that those conversations happened. But I'm just hearing questions being asked from where I'm sitting. It sounds like if we know that there's flaws in the way that we're calculating these numbers, does that not scream that we need a bigger uncertainty buffer? And that frightens, obviously all the numbers frighten me right at this point in time. My sector is in big trouble, especially the financial end of it. But I'd just like to hear some, if there was any discussion about that we need a wider uncertainty range in there, or buffer or protection number than trying to maximize every last fish. Maybe we need to be like allowing that we have some bad input coming in and we can't like put the last of these species into the toilet forever. Like I this can't end up being Canada. Right. And I mean, I'll go back. I'd just like to hear if there's any information about uncertainty, and especially with regard to that retrospective pattern, because I haven't heard that come up yet.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. You're correct that the response would normally be in view of the uncertainty to set the catch buffers at a wider margin so that there is not as much catch taken. That is typically not part of the assessment process per se, with the exception of instances in which the retrospective pattern sort of meets the bar. That is, that the retrospective pattern exceeds a level that's judged to be acceptable in terms of model performance. So in instances where there is a retrospective pattern, but it is not deleterious to the performance of the model, we typically do not employ that measure of uncertainty in terms of adjusting our stock status. So there's no precautionary approach that is applied at the assessment level, other than instances where the performance of the model is not working properly. So that's when we use the split time series approach to address it, or when we do the post hoc adjustment. That is, we get an estimate but then adjust it for an unacceptable retrospective pattern. The purpose of that is not to incorporate uncertainty in terms of the forecast projections, but it is to simply to adjust the population size so that it is more appropriate or consistent with what the model evidence is suggesting. The issue of uncertainty is addressed explicitly by the SSC. That is where the consideration is to be incorporated. That is their evaluation of the model performance, the uncertainty in all of its forms is to be addressed by their specification of the uncertainty in catch performance. It's important that there is a firewall between those two applications of uncertainty.
I'd like to take one more comment from the public. Guy, Gary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gary Libby, Port Clyde, ground fisherman. My question is about the species that's missing, white hake, that's to be determined. We went through the codfish interim action, and I know the effort on hake has been up, partly because of dogfish. Guys have shifted their behavior farther out into deep water to get away from dogfish and ended up catching quite a few hake this last year. And I was just wondering if anyone had any ideas if we were going to be looking at numbers similar to cod on hake.
We can't comment on that at this point. I mean, there was no assessment update for that, so I think it's certainly too early to say.
When's a good time to get that? Is it going to be, say, September or later?
It would be later. As Jim indicated, the white hake assessment is currently scheduled for December of 2012. The ability to incorporate two benchmarks for Georges Bank and Gulf of Maine cod simultaneously with a surf clam assessment is going to be problematic in terms of giving each of them their due in terms of the attention we can put on them. So personally, I don't know. I mean, that'll be a council decision as to how we actually deal with white hake.
All right. So I'm understanding that probably nothing will happen with white hake until probably 2014 as far as fishermen go and implement more action.
That would be a reasonable conclusion, but I can't verify that. That would be a council decision. Sorry.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, I'd like to bring it back to the council. We still have one more presentation and the remainder of the groundfish meeting, and we do have to vacate this room prior to 6 for the herring public hearing. So I just want people to keep aware of that. I'll take a couple. So Dr. Pierce and then Jim Odlin.
Yeah, the one update that to me is the most telling and the one that is most troubling is the Cape Cod Gulf of Maine Yellowtail Flounder Assessment. Those who did the update were quite creative, quite good in terms of what they examined. This particular assessment, this update, shows a retrospective pattern that didn't exist before, I think. It was worse than expected. And the update scientists attempted to get rid of that retrospective pattern by doing different things, modifying survey information, just to see what might be accounting for that change. Is it true that the update concluded that the likely reason for the retrospective analysis, for the retrospective pattern to have occurred, was unaccounted for catch?
I do not believe we concluded an unobserved catch as the primary reason. Unobserved removals probably the more specific term and the more generic cause of such changes. But, you know, we have typically refrained from characterizing the smoking gun.
I'm cheating, Paul. I'm looking at the document. It does say catch, but it should say removals. Okay. My point is, I continue to be concerned that the reason why we have such pessimistic results for the assessments that are before us now is that there is unaccounted for catch, for whatever reason, unaccounted for catch. It's catch share management, low quotas, nearest suspicions. Anyways, if it's removals, okay. Maybe it's predation, whatever. But
could be
to me right now, the assessment screams out, it's unaccounted for catch. And if that's true, then as we move deeper into catch share management, we've got one significant problem. Unless we can get good accounts of actual catch, we'll always be behind the eight ball with regards to what is happening, and the assessment scientists will always be disadvantaged by not having accurate records of total catch. So you've answered my question. It's removals. Okay.
Jim Odlin.
One question that's been bugging me is that, you know, I'm starting to get a little uncomfortable with the calibration of the survey ship. I think there may be something there. I don't know. My question is, where can I go to look at what's being utilized for the calibration by stock? Is there a place on your website, or can you get us the information? For instance, what's the calibration factors, for instance, Cape Cod Yellowtail or Gulf of Maine Cod, so that we can have a clearer picture of that?
There are several sources. There is a center reference document by Miller et al. That describes the initial pass, so to speak, in terms of the scalar adjustments that for numbers and biomass, and those are based on the comparative experiments that were done in 2008. That report is on the center reference page. In addition, there are individual analyses that are done on a length-specific basis that are follow-ups and have been the products of various either track assessments or benchmark assessments within the center, or in some instances borrowing stocks. So, for example, the Georges Bank Yellowtail calibration effects, which incorporate a differential length-specific adjustment due to the fact that the Bigelow catches more small fish than the albatross did. That adjustment factor is characterized in one of the track documents. I'd have to verify that the actual sources. We could provide the council with a list of where the length specific. In some instances, they are where they were used. They are documented in the 800 page report. So there will be a figure which characterizes, you know, what coefficients were used to make those comparisons.
Yeah, if you guys get us a list, you know, by species and stock, that would be really helpful. I know what I'm going to get if I get on the website. I'm not going to understand what it is. So appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, we're going to take a 10-minute break. I'll be back at 3:10, and we will have Chris Legault give the SSC presentation at that time. Paul, I assume that you'll be around if there are...